Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. Come on, let's say that together. My God is faithful. Anybody else felt like you need to reach for a Dramamine during that video? I was like, oh, we've shown that one before, but I was like, maybe we won't show that one. At least next time, if we do, we'll put a brown bag in front of all the seat pockets in front of you. You know what I'm saying? Because that was just a little bit too much. But we're not here to talk about motion sickness. We're here talking about the faithfulness of God. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, say, my God is faithful. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy tonight. Then we're going to conclude this two-part series entitled, My God is Faithful. My God is Faithful. I'm really excited about what tonight's going to bring in just the 25 minutes that we have tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 7, begin with verse 9, says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. So basically what we're reading right there, we're going to pause for just a moment. We're going to keep on going in just a minute. But what we're seeing right there is that God is a good God. He's faithful. We read that He's faithful. He's a covenant-keeping God. And His mercy will last for 1,000 generations. That covers every one of us. God is love. He's faithful. He keeps His covenant. And His mercy lasts for generations. That's good news. But what did it say? But to whom does His love and mercy and grace and all of those things, who does that cover? To those that what? Love Him. And then it goes a step further and says, and to those that keep His commandments. Everybody say, well, I love God. Sure, we love Him, but how good are we at keeping His commandments? So if we want His love, we want His grace, and we want His mercy to cover us, it's got to be more than just lip service. It's got to be due service. Everybody say due service. I know that is not good English, but you knew exactly what I was saying. Well, no, matter of fact, the word says, don't just be hearers, be doers of the word. So if you want God's love, if you want His grace and His mercy, it's not just good enough just to come to church and go, yes, I love Jesus, and wear a Christian t-shirt and have a bumper sticker that says honk if you love Him. No, live it out. Everybody say live it out. Live it out. So let's keep on going. Chapter 7 verse 10 says, check this out. This is the same God that we just said he's loving, he keeps His commandments, and he covers us with His grace and His mercy. But let's keep on going. This is the description of God. And He also repays those who hate Him to their face. I love that. That's like street talk right in the word. To their face. To do what? To destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates Him. He will repay him to his face. Somebody said, wait a minute. That was a second God. Somebody else showed up on the scene. No, that's the same God that we just read about that said He's loving, He's gracious, He's compassionate, He keeps His covenant. Oh, yes, but for those that don't love Him, He's going to repay you to your face. And it's death. The wages of sin is death. So I'm saying, somebody said, why did you do that? Because I think it's very important. And it's really what I honed in on last week. And it's really the crutch of the support system for this series on My God is Faithful, that it's important that we capture the full scope of who God is. He's a loving God, but He's also a just God. He's a faithful God, but He's also going to take care of business. Matter of fact, Dad even said it Sunday. He said, God is a God who also disciplines. I remember when I was growing up, my father disciplined me. He loved me, but He also disciplined me. And like Dad said, if you've never been disciplined by God, you're probably not in His reach. And I'm not saying that He can't catch you. Oh, He can, but you're not close enough to even bother with a disciplinary action. Hello. Okay, I won't say, I don't mean to come off so hard right off the bat, but it's true. Daddy couldn't catch me with a belt if I wasn't nowhere in the room, if I wasn't in the vicinity. So if you've never been disciplined by God, you might want to check your location of how close you are to Him. And if you're close enough to Him, And somebody said, well, that's hard. That's mean. That's cruel. No, we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. Be looking for the discipline. I want him to perfect me. I need him to help assist me in life, to help me through situations and even decisions that I make that probably wasn't a good idea. I need him to help shape me so I don't make a stupid decision like that again. Hello, church. It's a process. Everybody say process. It is a process. And I said this last week, nothing will impact your life more than how you view God. I mean, think about that. Nothing will impact your life more than how you view God. How we view God determines how we live life. If you have a distorted view of who God is, all you see is chapter 7 verse 9. If all you see is the loving side, then you have a distorted view. If all you see is the disciplinary God, you have a distorted view. People who all they see is disciplinary, those are the people that don't come to church. Or those are the people that were once here that aren't anymore. And I'm not talking about forward, I'm talking about church in general. The people who came in but that are no longer here, it's because all they see is the disciplinarian. So it's important that you see he's loving, he's compassionate, he keeps his covenant, but he's going to correct. So it's important that we have a correct view of him. And we have to ask ourselves, is he a powerful God or is he a weak God? Is he a rich God or is he El Cheapo? The word says that he paved his streets in heaven. For us, they're paved with gold. What do we use? Asphalt. If you live in Levy County, you're lucky to even have asphalt. You have dirt. But God is not a cheap God. He is a rich God. We ask ourselves, is he a faithful God or is he unfaithful? Is he a healer or isn't he? These are questions that we all ask ourselves. How many have ever been in a situation or you know a family member who has battled a sickness and you go, okay, God, are you a healer or aren't you? How you live your life in that moment is based on how you view God. If you don't view him as a healer, you're not going to see him as the healer. You're just going to see him, well, I'm going to pray, but I don't really believe, so whatever happens. No, you just contaminated your prayer. Okay? So is he a healer or isn't he a healer? Does he want the best for me or doesn't he? That's based in our dating relationship. If you're single or if you've ever been single, you got how you view God, and if your life is really surrendered to him and if you're in covenant with him, and you should be if you want his love and if you want his extended mercy, that's what the word just said. So if I'm in covenant with him and I view him that he wants the best for me, then I'm going to trust him to bring the right person to me like I did. I went out and did it on my own like I thought I needed to, but that didn't work out for me. I made a mistake. Everybody made a mistake in relationship, made a mistake. But when I took my hands off my agenda for my life and said, okay, God, because every time I was trying to do it myself, I always messed up, and I messed up a lot of times. But when I said, I'm not even concerned about that. God, you know I don't want to be by myself. Oh, isn't she lovely? Yes, she is. Isn't she wonderful? But it's true. When I took my hand, whatever it is in your life, it could be a relationship. It could be whatever you're faced with. When you take your hands off and go, God, I'm not going to micromanage this. That's when he can come in. There's not enough room for your hands and his hands. There's not enough room for your will and his will in your life. The perfect fit for your life is him. The perfect fit of hands on your life and your purpose is his hands on your life. So when we live our lives according to how we view God, when tragedy strikes, when bad things happen, life happens. Y'all seen those bumper stickers. Do I need to be explicit? When stuff happens, how you view... Yo, you just got it. A little slow. I got it. But how you view God determines on how you will let that play out. Are you going to go into freak out mode, get on your back and, oh my God, I don't want that now. I can't believe God. I know. And shake your fist at God. Or are you going to be like, God, I'm about to be freaked out, but I trust you. It's okay. I'm not saying don't acknowledge that there's chaos. I'm just saying I acknowledge it, but I'm not giving it my attention. There's a difference. Okay? How you view him. Somebody said, I get it. I don't know if we do get it. It's important that we understand how you see God How you see him will, it tells everything. As a pastor, I can watch people and I know the level of importance that God is in your life based on how you live it. Oh, you judging? No, no, no. I'm checking out the fruit. Because you checking out my fruit, are you not? You checking out to see? I mean, you're not showing up in here just because you believe that I'm hearing from God. Just because I'm praying, God, change us as a church. Change us so that we can be a part of changing people's lives. So as you're changing me, that's what we say, as you're changing us, God, help us to change other people. It's all about the process of all of us. It's not about, let's get all cleaned up and I'm perfect now, so now I can do it. No, we do it together. We change together. Family changes together. Amen? Everybody say, we're family. So when tragedy strikes, is he in control or isn't he in control? Listen, who we are and who we're becoming cannot be separated from this idea of who God is. Who you are right now and who you're becoming, you cannot separate it from how you view God. You've acted today, you've had conversations today, you've said things based on how you see God. When things get crazy, do you trust him? Listen, even after I said those words last week for Amy and I, there's this situation and I went into freak out mode. I didn't go, you know, rolling on the floor and having a fit, but it was so funny because I then replayed my own voice. How you view God determines if you trust him. Like, that's what I was hearing. And I was like, okay, I get it. So I had to have that moment where, God, I trust you. And it's just a conversation that we all have to have and be honest. God is loving and God is faithful. Let's go to Psalms chapter 36. And this is David's description. This is David's description of a loving God. God is love. This is the Message translation. And I love this. So I wanted to use this version. 36, 5 and 7 says, God's love is meteoric. His loyalty is astronomic. Astronomic, yes. His purpose, titanic. His verdicts, oceanic. Yet in his largeness, nothing gets lost. Not a man, not a mouse slips through the cracks. How exquisite your love, O God. How exquisite your love, O God. So that's his description of, yes, God is love. He is a loving God. God's love is incredibly amazing. His love is incredibly amazing. Psalms chapter 119. Let's just go up just a little bit. Now, this is David's description of a faithful God. It says, what you say goes, God, and stays as permanent as the heavens. Your truth never goes out of fashion. It's as up to date as the earth when the sun comes up. Your word and truth are dependable as ever. That's what you ordered. You set the earth going. If your revelation hadn't delighted me so, I would have given up when the hard times came, but I'll never forget the words of wisdom. Oh, there we go. Never forget the advice you gave me. You saved my life with those wise words. Save me. I'm all yours. I look high and low for your words of wisdom. The wicked lie in ambush to destroy me, but I'm only concerned with your plans. I see the limits to everything human, but the horizons can't contain your commands. Like we looked at last week with Jeremiah, when everything was going bad for Jeremiah, and he was like, almost like, curse God. I live for God, I trust God, but God is ruining my life. But in the same text, he said, but yet I bring back to my remembrance how faithful God is. And what did David say? He said he remembered the words of wisdom where he said, save me, I'm all yours. He said, sure, the wicked seek to destroy me, but I'm only concerned with your plan and purpose for my life. So what are you saying? This is what I'm saying. When things happen and tragedy strikes, don't be concerned with that. Remember that you should only be focused on what your purpose is. Focus on your family. One of the greatest things the enemy is trying to do, and we know this as the church, is to destroy the home. And so what he'll do, and it may not even be a fight with your spouse, it could be something else that gets you so tense that you walk in the house and it's like, you know what I'm saying? It had nothing to do with him or her, but you're so wound up tight because of something else that the enemy's trying to cause a distraction that now when it gets, it never was even about the distraction. It was about getting you in, you all wound up so that when you come into the home, you blow up and blow a gasket. And then you sleep on the couch, she sleeps on the couch, or she goes and you go, and then there goes the home. So it's important that we understand this. Listen, I get it. Truly understanding faithfulness takes the same ingredient that the word said. Faithfulness takes faith. You follow me? In order to be faithful, it takes faith. You're not going to be able to know. You don't have to know. You're not going to be able to know everything. I found this quote. You're going to have to go back a little bit, baby doll, from Stephen Furtick that said, I found this today. Faith turns the adversity into the advantage. The adversity that you're facing, God wants to turn that into your advantage. The very thing that the enemy is sending your way to destroy you, to upset you, to get you all fired up, to destroy your house, God wants to use that very momentum to be an advantage point for you. The very things that the enemy has used to break up our home, and let me tell you, I know I keep saying one day I'll share my testimony, one day we may, but the very thing that the enemy has used has now given me a platform to stand and say, it doesn't matter how bad things get, God can restore. Whether that's a home, whether that's a family member, whatever the relation, doesn't matter how bad, I'm just telling you, it don't matter how bad it gets, God can restore when you take our hands off and say, God, I give this to you. Remember, if I'm trying to micromanage, and again, I'm going to do it from my angle, what works best for me, because what's going to be it to my advantage, not hers, but my advantage. See, that's how what got us in that mess in the first place. But if we say, God, I let you have this, he wants to take your adversity and change it to become the vantage point for you. Listen, my life hasn't always been easy, but my God has been faithful. I haven't always made the right decisions, but God has been faithful to me. I've not always made the best decisions or the right choices, but God is faithful. When is he faithful? When I have a repentant heart. You want to write that down. Somebody, how do I do that? You can say, God, I love you, but if you're not repenting for where you are, and repenting is not saying I'm sorry, it's saying, God, I am sorry, but I'm changing. And I'm not going to be that way anymore. I repent. It's not an apology. Too many Christians, well, I repent, but you're still doing it. I know it's a process. I'm not saying God can deliver you and God can set you free like that, but it is a process. But what he wants to do is to set you free. How many believe that tonight? He wants to set you free. It's a hard concept for us to wrap our minds around because all we see and everywhere we turn is unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness has become the acceptable norm. It's what we see. We see it in homes. We see it in relationships, family members. Unfaithfulness. So we don't have a blueprint to go by other than God. So if your relationships aren't based on the one who can actually be faithful, I told you last week, I can never be 100% faithful to her. It's not in my makeup. It's not in my DNA. It's not in yours. Churches, organizations, businesses, family, nobody can be 100% faithful to you. And that's why we get let down, because we're not looking at him. We're looking at a person. So then when all this craziness goes, you can, listen, you can either wrap your faith around your circumstances, or you can wrap your faith around the identity of Christ. Because when you wrap your faith around the circumstances and how things are going, you judge, you know, life's good because everything's going great. But what happens when that changes and all things are going downhill to hell in a handbasket? What happens? Then your whole life gets destroyed. But if your faith and your relationship is based around God's identity, which is faithful, he's loving. When your faith is wrapped up in his identity, when the circumstances do change, your world doesn't get shaken because your faith is put in his identity of he's faithful. I hope I didn't lose you, but I'm just saying, you can't put it in your circumstances. You can't judge how you're doing in life based on how bad everything is. Just turn on the news, flip on Facebook. It's all bad. If you focus on Christ, it's all good, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Just punch, if you got a spouse, just give them a little, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We must look to Jesus In our dating relationships, we've got to look to him. In who we're going to marry, we've got to look to him. Listen, if he would rather get you between the sheets before he gets you to the altar, that's not the right dude or dudette. If he's trying to get you into the bed before he gets you to the altar, that's not the one. And based on if you allow that to happen, lets me know your viewpoint of how you view God. My actions lay out before him. Who cares what we think? Who cares what the pastor thinks? My actions and how I live, this is tough love right here that I'm giving you, okay? How I live, it shows God how you view him and the importance level and how serious you take him. If I continue to sin and if I continue to do things that the word strictly says, don't do that. And if I say, God, me and God, it's cool, pastor. Me and God, you know, he just winks at it. God don't wink at sin. I don't know what Bible you reading. He's not winking. He can't wink at it. The only attention he gave it was, I'll die for it. So if you repent and ask for forgiveness, I'll forgive you for those things. But if you continue to do those things, what you're showing him is the level of importance and how you view him and how important he is in your life. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Again, I didn't come for all this hard preaching. You got to see the loving side of God and you got to see the justice side of God. How you view him will determine how you live, and how you view him on earth will determine where you spend eternity. It's true. How I view him will determine where I will spend eternity. Oh yeah, but B, you don't understand where I'm at. You don't know what I'm going through. Let me give you two scenarios, two things. When you're faced with adversity, number one, you can either put your faith, I've already said this, you can put your faith in your circumstances, or you can put your faith in God's identity. When I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I have hope. Regardless of how bad my circumstances are, when I'm looking to him, I have hope. If I'm looking in Facebook and I'm looking to all my friends, oh my God, y'all don't understand. She said and he said and they's talking about me. Nah, nah, nah. There's no hope in that. You may get a comfort hug and a little pat on the back to get you through 24 hours. But unless you look to him, you're going to be right back in the same sad story you were in, looking at a dead-end job with a dead-end relationship, with a dead-end marriage, kids are driving you crazy. If all you're doing is posting on Facebook, looking for somebody to give you that, it's going to be good for just a short season. But God built you for longevity. He built you, I love that from what Dad said, but it's not just for daddies. He built us. He instilled in all of us the ability to go and run the distance. He did. But it's our responsibility to tap into that. If you're not able to do it, it's nobody's fault but your own. It's not the pastor who didn't help you, because bless God, we teach in the word. We trying to get you there. We trying to pull you out. But who's responsible for where you are? You and your view of how you see God. You can clap, say amen. I don't care. I'm just telling you. That right there should change everything. I could say, shut the message down and turn it all off, and that's it. But I'm telling you, that will change everything. How you view God will determine how you live your life. How I view God tomorrow when I wake up, God already knows what you're going to face. Every situation, every conversation, every person is going to PT, whatever, going to tick you off. I have to be careful. We live on all kinds of functions tonight. God already knows what's going to boil your water tomorrow. But how you view God will determine how you handle it. You just put a lid on it and let it just steam, or you can just give it attention and turn it up and watch it just overflow. You ever made macaroni and cheese and you walk in the other bedroom? This like maybe happened just 24 hours for me. I don't know. Walk in the other bedroom, you forget about what's going on. You come back and everything noodles and it just spilled out. Well, that's how it is in life. Well, if we're not focusing on God and giving it the attention that it needs, all of our stuff just spills out. And how many knows it's hard to get that stuff off that stove when it's been cooked on there? It's hard to get that stuff off of our lives after we just let it just boil over and we didn't show it the attention and we didn't take care of it while it could have been. It still can be cleaned up. It's just going to take a longer process. You can still be forgiven, but there's consequences, and it's a long way back to get where. If you would have just showed it the attention at the moment the pastor said, if you'll change your view, you wouldn't have to go through this. If you would start focusing on it and deal with it right then, you wouldn't have too much of a mess to clean up. Your marriage wouldn't be where it's at if you would already be looking at the problem going, we're going to deal with this. We're going to look to him to help us get there. Who is he? He is faithful. If you ask me how to describe God, he's loving, he's merciful, he's mighty, he's powerful, he's unfailing. The number one description of every human being in this room is unfailing. I don't care how you look at it. I don't care how you paint it. I don't care what kind of Pinterest angle you try to put on that selfie. It don't matter. You're unfaithful. But if God's in your heart, you have the possibility through a perfecting process to be made righteous. It's not that we're trying to be made perfect. We should be trying to be righteous. We're trying to too much to be perfect. You'll never be that. But if we will become righteous in Christ, how do I get there? By following his commandments. All the do's, hey, let's do those things. All the don'ts, let's focus on those things too. It's a both and. He's loving and he's just. And I want to know him as both. I want to know him as both. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. I don't know if it is up there. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Even though I'm unfaithful, it doesn't change. He will still be faithful because it's who he is. Remember what I said? Faithfulness isn't something that he does. It's something that we look at as humans. I can be faithful. It's not something that he does. It's who he is. So what's my takeaway? Number one, I've got to trust him with my present trouble. Think about the story of Abraham. It's one of my favorite. We won't go there for time's sake, but it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 12, and you can go back and look at that and during your own devotional time. I trust that you have that, where God gives Abraham a dream, and he's going to be the father of a great nation. We know that nation is the nation of Israel. God tells him he's going to have to change locations. Listen, anytime God interrupts your life and he wants to do something in your life, there's change is always a part of it. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to move you to go to Africa or Haiti or across the street or whatever. It may not be that for y'all. It was for us. We had to relocate from Georgia to Florida. Anytime God does something in your life, there has to be a change. For Abraham, it was geographical, just like it was for our family. It was geographical. It may not be that way for you, but anytime God interrupts a life with a dream, there has to be change. Ask God, give me a purpose. Show me how I can be most effectively used to impact change. How I can be used. For Abraham, it was geographical. Abraham obeys God. He relocates, and the very first thing that happens is there's a famine in the land. Let me tell you something. Just because God sets you up and he puts you in a place, or he moved us to Florida, just because that happens doesn't mean everything's going to be cheesecake and pie. Just because you obey him and you feel like, oh yeah, I'm on the move. I'm fixing to go to Walmart and I'm gonna win people to Jesus. Doesn't mean that you're not gonna have a flat tire on the way to Walmart. I'm not saying you need to be looking for the devil. Just know that he's coming for you to stop God's will in your life. The bigger the dream, the bigger the fight. Boy, I'm learning that. I may be little in frame physically, but I believe that as a spirit man, I'm humongous. Because I know the fight, the bigger the dream, the bigger the goal, the bigger the thing that God has for you to do, the bigger the fight. It's coming. Just be ready for it. Just be ready for it. So Abraham discovers you can't allow the circumstances that you're going through to define your God. You may want to write that down. You can't allow your circumstances to define God. Because again, how you view him will determine how you fight. And if you look at him as a little God, he's incapable, then your fight is going to be ginormous. Like, you might as well just throw in the towel. I'm just being honest. Look to Jesus. He's the only one that's going to help get you through. I mean, every time there's a struggle and every time there's things going on, I give it to you. And I have to remind myself of my own messages. God, I give this to you. I trust you. I can't do this. And that's hard, especially for me, that's hard, because I like to micromanage. I like to know what's going on. If you know me on a personal level, you're like, yep, he does. So you know the fight. You know the struggle. But see, God will use a surrendered life. Are you surrendered tonight? The truth is, when I look back over my life and all of the things that I've gone through and recognizing his faithfulness, the one thing that I recognize the most is God is most powerfully present even when he appears apparently absent. He is most powerfully present even though he appears to be absent. So the moments that you feel like you're all alone, it's because you're not looking for him. Oh, but you don't know I'm looking for him. No, you're looking in all the wrong places. The moments that you feel like you're all alone is the moment that he is right there. He's just asking for you to take your hands off and give it to me. My life, my plans, my future, my spouse, my family, my relationships. God, I'm looking for you to take over. He's standing already. He sees where the mess that you, you've gotten. He sees where you are. He's just like, Holy Ghost, I'll send you down. I can help. But they haven't asked for help yet. Number two, the first one was trust him with your present trouble. The second one is we must trust him with our future plans. It's easy for us to trust him, and I'm coming down, I promise. It's easy for us to trust him with our present. Why? Because we've got our back against the wall and there's nowhere else to go. So we say, God, I need you. We got that one down. We can do that. It's like, I've done everything else, so God, I come to you now. But we're not willing to trust him with our future plans. Why? Because we have this illusion that we're in control. You're not in control. Some of us are out of control. There's where the problem lies. So back to Abraham. 15 years go by from the original dream that he had, that I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. He's got no kids. All he's thinking about is the promise. God, you promised me. Since we moved here, it's been, 3 years, 3.5 years? God, you promised. God, you said this is how it's going to be. I ain't seen it yet. Can I just be real? Oh, y'all want me to be fake? It's great. Just awesome. God, I ain't seen it yet. You know why? Because I like Abraham and focus on the promise instead of the process. If I would focus on the process, there's some things instead of me asking God, why am I going through this? What do you want me to learn through this process? I'm focused on the end result when there's so much he's trying to teach me through the process to get there. Because if he just uprooted me, bypassed the process, and stuck me in all the promise, I would mess that up because I wouldn't be prepared. Stop trying to bypass the process. He wants to get me to the promise, but he doesn't want me to jack it up, so he's got to get me through the steps of the process, and he can only do it through a surrendered life. If all I'm doing is, but God, I do want that, but there's so much you need to learn. But God, I think I'm ready. No, he knows when you're ready. When you get there, you'll be ready. And when you get there, you will enjoy the moment because you accepted the process. There was things that Amy and I learned early on in marriage. I loved the end result, but it was the process that was so doggone hard to get there. Surrendering what I wanted to do. Her surrendering what she wanted to do. It's part of the process to get us to a moment where we can now enjoy each other and enjoy each other's personalities because we learned how to deal with it. I remember one time when I was on staff in Georgia. Chaos in the office with 12 employees at the church. Sometimes they'd be like, hey, Bradley, you want to go to lunch with us? No, I'm going to go by myself. I need some peace and quiet. So I drive down to Columbus to a little sushi place. And I remember sitting there and trying to get some peace and quiet. And normally it wasn't a busy place because it was real small. And I remember this dad coming in and with his toddler. And you're snickering because you probably know where I'm fixing to go with this. And he had his computer. The dad had his computer, and I don't know how old the kid was. All I remember is he set him down, and he had some toys laid out, you know, and running those things back and forth around the table makes a lot of noise or whatever. Especially the kind, you know, you pull back and it takes off across the table. You're like, ah! But I remember he kept. I just watched. I'm a people watcher. I love to just sit in them all and watch people. You can learn a lot about people. And I remember sitting there, and I remember watching, he just kept passing his kid the little packets of fruit snacks, you know. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I love those things. They're really good. Like one or two packs, three packs in, you messed up belly. But I remember watching him just continue to give his kid. Every time he'd start getting rambunctious, he'd give his kid another packet. Dude, he must have, I mean, there was a mound. I don't know. He must have knew he was going to be there for a while because he came prepared. Like, he came with ammunition. He came with the whole box full. And he just kept patting every time the kid would empty it, and he'd start getting rambunctious because I guess he was distracting him from whatever he was trying to do on his computer. So he kept passing him. Well, after, I don't know how much time passed, I was just blown away by the kid was still, you know, like one of them chipmunks. He ran out. Daddy ran out. And I remember that kid just started pitching a fit, wanting more stuff. Matter of fact, he got on the floor and was laying on his back, kicking, talking about, I want my mama. And it's a little bitty place now. I'm just trying to eat sushi and have a quiet moment and go back to the office. I want my mama. I'm like, I want your mama too. I need you to shut up. I need you to shut up. But you know, when I left that restaurant that day, I'll never forget it. It was like God uses moments to help. It's called the process. And he said, you know what? That's sometimes like you are. In worship, and when you get all hyped about things, it's not so much that you want me. You want from me what you think I might give you. I was like, wow. Remember I said those discipline moments? It's the moments that'll take the air out of the room when your daddy, your heavenly father, says, hey, it's just like you. And you know, I think back to Abraham. When the night when God called him out of the tent and he said, come here. When Abraham was having one of those moments of, what about the promise? What about what you promised me? I'm single and I want to be married. We're married and we want kids and we're trying. Enjoying the moment, but we still trying. We can't have a baby. We focus on the promise instead of the process. And so God calls Abraham out and he says, look up. See all those stars? I want you to count those stars. And I don't know if he really did, but he could have started 1, 2, 957, 958. Stop. You can't count them. And I can just see Abraham. No, I get it, God. I can't, but you can. I can't, but you can. I can't, but you can. That's the conversation that every one of us should be having. I can't, but you can. I can't do, but you can. I think that story was recorded not just for Abraham. But I think it was recorded. It happened for him, but I think it was recorded for our benefit. So that we would recognize and we would come to a place where we would have those moments. And it may not even be about a promise. It could just be, I never thought it was going to be this hard, God. Why is this taking me so? Why am I having to do so? Why am I having to do so much work? So that we could go back and go, I can't, but you can because you're faithful. So the message that tonight is to give you hope, is to get you to place your trust in Jesus in spite of your circumstances. Remember what I said. His faithfulness and his favor have nothing. They're not held back by your circumstances. Matter of fact, he's not scared of those. When your circumstances are at their worst, God's faithfulness and favor are at their best. And you may be here tonight with every head bowed, every eye closed. You may be here tonight. You say, you know what? Yeah. I'm like that little kid in the sushi restaurant. Sometimes I'm on my back just screaming, blaming God for where I'm at. Don't understand why. I feel like I'm doing the right. I come to church. I serve on a serve team. Show up for all the connection functions, but God, I don't understand why this is so difficult and why this seems to be so hard. I just can't get it. I can't, but you can. If you're here tonight, would you just be honest and just all I want to do is pray for you. Just slip your hand up and go, yep, I've been there. I'm there right now. Or you know what? I'm scared that when that moment happens, I don't know that I can respond that way. I don't know that I can take my hands off because I'm too much of a control freak. Is anybody in the house? Just lift your hand up. And would you stand with me? Those that have your hand lifted, will you just stand? In the remaining moments that we have.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.